Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
I'm going to do a crossfade to you. Ready? 3, 2.
Reveal.
Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Halloween.
This is Halloween. Halloween spooktacular, huh? Scariest show on the airwaves. We went pretty minimalist and realistic with our costumes. Let's go over to Coop's side.
There we go.
And we have a picture of who he is, right? Ed Kemper. And he went
to make the face first.
Yeah. He went very realistic as well. Oh, no, you're going to need your finger up.
Oh, shit.
Okay, crossfade back. Crossfade back.
Okay,
ready? Crossfade into Coop. Yes!
There it is.
All right, and Joel as well went very realistic.
Costume,
minimalist.
Whoa. What's going on here?
Whoa. He went as an apple with razor blades, just like we asked him to. He's nothing if not a company man, and we love him for it. Okay, guys, spooktacular.
That proves there's at least one instance of an apple with razor blades.
Yes. Yep. And for probably the audio listeners, I'm JonBenet Ramsey.
Yes.
And it's the iconic picture of her with the pink, all right, the cowboy hat with the pink bedazzle and fringe.
Blammo.
And like a white jacket. It's not what you would normally think of. But I think it works.
And you got the veil coming off the back.
Yeah. Isn't it? Yep.
Which
see that?
Don't see nearly enough of those these days. You actually made that?
Yeah.
That I don't know how the hell you put that together.
Well, I mean, now listen. I had to. I searched on Amazon, JonBenet Ramsey costume, and to my surprise, nothing came up. And the FBI showed up at my door. So listen. I searched so many things, JonBenet Ramsey pageant. I wanted the iconic, like, almost 4th of July one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Where she's like blue and white stars, and it's like this kind of hat, but with the other sash, and it's so, right?
Really a bit of a one-trick pony there with the cowboy hats. Didn't mix that up that much.
Yes, because we had to keep the wig on, right?
Oh,
and
yeah,
so,
good point.
This one is one that, you know, you get it if you see the picture.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then I was kind of like, am I doing a grown-up JonBenet if she never, right?
I was going to ask, if she was still alive, how old would she be?
Ooh.
Like 25, 26?
Sure, that's a good question. Coop? I'll find out.
That's you. That's you, Coop. Look
she's still
it up.
Alive.
Yeah.
Who is this person, though? I don't know who she is.
Mm.
She was killed or something?
Joel.
I'm being serious.
One of the biggest mysteries. I guess we're going to have to do that show.
She would be 34.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. She was born in 1990.
So she was a little pageant girl in the days where before we realized that that was super fucking weird to sexualize and make like 5-year-olds look like they were 30-year-old women.
Yeah, surprisingly, we didn't know that already. We had to find that out the hard
it's
way.
It's one of those things like, oh, really?
People
can
still
we not?
They still fucking do it, though.
They do it, but it's, I think they're a little bit more cognizant of it. Maybe. I have no idea. But with her, it was like, I mean, full dressing her up like a 30-year-old woman. And like the photo shoots were a little bit weird, where if you went close up with the kind of makeup and everything, it was too much.
Yeah.
Anyways, she was found dead in her home, strangled in the basement. The mom called the police and said that she'd been kidnapped and there's a ransom note. And the ransom note was bonkers.
What the?
Like some foreign faction. And we will hold your daughter until you have done bad things, Mr. Ramsey. Like, fucking weird. No forced entry. Their kid is found.
Inside job then, right? That's what I learned from the show.
Right, almost. But no one was charged. Rich ass family in Colorado. White as the day is long.
It's almost like her older brother was the one that did it, and the family was trying to cover that fact up.
Yes, which is my theory and a lot of people's theory, but he's still walking around free. It's one of those true crime stories that fascinate people that are into true crime only because it's like, what?
That was
like,
one of the
how
first,
do we not?
Like, real nationwide. Kind of
yes,
true crime stories.
Remember? And I think it was more like putting the pictures of her up, like this girl got strangled in her own basement.
Fuck.
Insane, right?
So it was her brother. She had her older brother, is what you're saying?
They were thinking the dad, but the dad was, I guess, cleared or rich and white. I'm not really sure.
They're synonymous.
Synonymous. And the mom was very much in charge of, like, the 911 call. I guess the ransom note was pretty, sounded like her. Writing was like her. You know what I mean?
Was it her writing? But they couldn't prove
they
it
couldn't
was her
really. I mean,
writing?
She did it different enough, or it was early in the stages of handwriting analysis. I don't know. Yeah,
the part where she really slipped up. In terms of making the note, is when she said, "If you do not return my daughter within," and then she scratched out "my daughter."
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kept referring to JonBenet as her daughter over and over again in the note.
Like I'm saying, it's comically bonkers and insane, and that's why people are like, "Really, really?" And then the mom died. You know, when we still didn't know what was going on, and so it's kind of like, "All right, what now?" You know.
No, you just move on, apparently.
I guess you just move on, but caring. I don't. Okay? And here I am, JonBenet. But we're doing...
Still alive.
Still alive. Still alive. And those pageant days really did a fucking number on me.
Yeah, you faked your death, so you didn't have to do pageants anymore.
God.
Kept
giving
the hat,
pixie
though.
Sticks, putting fake teeth in. Fucking... So, yeah, I didn't like it. Here I am. I work at Cheer Up Charlie's down the street, and it's good. Like, life is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyways, we're doing a fun Halloween episode.
Mm-hmm.
Spooktacular.
Okay.
Every show's got to do a spooktacular, right?
Every fucking year.
Every fucking year. This one... I don't know how Halloween-y it is, except for there is a murder done in a costume.
Yep.
Which actually helps disguise.
One of the creepiest fucking costumes you could wear when you commit a murder.
Right. Fear-inducing, triggering costumes you can ever wear.
I think the phobia, it's called like colorophobia or something like that. There's a name for it.
Takes place in Florida. Of course.
Yeah, always does.
And this is a fun tale, winding tale, spanning many years before we find out who committed this heinous crime.
Yeah, nearly 30 years, just finally got closed last year.
Yes.
Fairly late last year, too.
Yes. And there's only, like, two good people in the story. Everyone else is a real fucking piece of shit. You know? And you're kind of just like, Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Not the greatest people, I'm sure we all know.
All crimes take place in Texas and Florida.
They're the overachieving states, apparently.
Yeah.
Is that true?
All the good ones.
All the good ones. All the iconic ones.
Colorado's had a good run, though.
That's true. My murder.
Mm-hmm.
JonBenet.
Alleged murder.
Allegedly.
What I did it to myself?
I'm still on the fence.
Yeah, true. I'm still doing pageants in Flagstaff, Arizona, if you want to come checking me out.
Also cheerleading for a bowling league on the weekends, too, I heard.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Coop.
It's a good gig.
Thank you, Coop. I don't like to toot my own horn, but I'll let you do it for sure.
Oh, I just cut myself on one of my razors.
The razor blade apple. You'll remember from our last.
End up happening at some point.
I just forgot I had it on, and I moved it to do that. I'm fine.
Yeah, because you put real razor blades on there.
Yeah.
With just a little bit of tape, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Said I would.
Said I would, and so I did.
Very authentic costume.
Thank you. Thanks, Coop.
Handmade, too.
All right, let's go on the journey.
Let's do it.
All right. This is the case of Marlene Warren.
A.K.A. Killer Clowns from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Killer Clown from, Wellington.
Yeah.
So it's a clown costume.
Yep. Tip.
So should I put like circus music over this as we go through?
Yes. Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay.
On the morning of May 26th, 1990, 40-year-old Marlene Warren and her 21-year-old son, Joseph, were enjoying a quiet Saturday morning breakfast with three of Joseph's friends just before 11 a.m. A white Chrysler LeBaron. It's a LeBaron, Daddy.
Great car.
Pulled into the driveway, out of which emerged a clown carrying a bouquet of flowers and some colorful balloons. An unexpected visit from a clown can only mean one of two things. Either you're in a horror film or somebody at the Make-A-Wish Foundation is phoning it in. Regardless, it's never a good sign. Marlene and Joseph, however, assume the clown was there to deliver a get-well-soon gift for Joseph, who had recently broken his leg. As her son and his friends finished their meal, Marlene went to the door to greet their unexpected visitor.
So not long after Marlene went to the door, Joseph heard a loud pop, which he initially assumed was one of the balloons popping. Glancing out the window, he saw the clown calmly walking back to their car. Just before climbing into the driver's seat, the clown paused and looked back at Joseph. And he said that at first he didn't realize that that it was a mask that they were wearing instead of, it wasn't just normal clown face paint. They were wearing an actual clown mask. He said that they looked they looked like a porcelain doll.
Oh.
Because her skin was so smooth and uncreased. I mean, it's just it's a creepy mental image.
I'm sure it doesn't live forever in his mind.
Doesn't wake him up
his
at
dreams.
Night.
I'm sure he's fine.
After a moment, the clown got in the car and drove away. Curious about what had been delivered, Joseph made his way to the front door. There, he discovered his mother crumpled on the floor. At first, he thought she had just tripped and fallen, but upon closer inspection, he was horrified to see that she had blood pouring from her mouth and multiple teeth missing. She had been shot once directly in the face. And all in the span of, a minute, came up to the door. Gun.
What kind of gun?
Small caliber pistol, something like that.
At point blank.
Walked up to the door, and Joseph just heard his mom say, oh, how pretty, how nice, and then boom.
Fucking A, dude.
That's wild.
Nearby, a neighbor named Bill Kramer was out walking his dog when he heard what he thought was a nail gun. Soon after hearing the sound, Bill saw Joseph's friends running out of Warren's house in a panic, shouting, "They've shot Joey's mother." Looking in the front door, Bill saw Marlene Warren laying on the ground in a pool of blood. He immediately yelled for his wife to call 911. Unresponsive and bleeding profusely, Marlene was rushed to a nearby hospital where she was given emergency surgery. She had been shot once directly in the face with a small caliber pistol. The bullet had entered through her mouth, knocking out most of her front teeth. Despite the efforts of the doctors, Marlene Warren died from her injuries 2 days later.
I can't believe she even made it 2 days.
I know.
Because from that angle, I would think it'd go right through the brainstem or
something. It did go through the neck, but not through,
did some major damage.
Certain things,
She died?
Yes. Spooky. Yeah,
she died. Super spooky.
Super spooky to die.
Marlene Warren was born Marlene Mae McKinnon on in May of 1950 in Macon County, Michigan. Sorry, I'm going to have to switch to my real glasses for this. These ones don't have any lenses.
I'll put a picture up over while we wait.
Ed.
This is her, right? This is who got shot?
That's Marlene.
That's
when she
Marlene.
Was in her early 20s.
Oh.
How old was she when she got shot?
She was 49, I think. Just about 50.
It's time to go anyway.
She had a long life.
Joel.
Sorry.
Watch it, bud.
I'm a razor apple today.
Yeah. What do you know?
They're spicy.
Look at those sharp edges you got. Marlene Warren was born Marlene Mae McKinnon in May of 1950 in Macomb County, Michigan. As soon as she was old enough to get married and start popping out babies, that's exactly what she did. And she got busy real fast with that. Before she was even old enough to legally drink, Marlene got married and gave birth to two baby boys, John and Joseph. Marlene's first marriage went the way of many modern marriages, and in 1970 she filed for divorce. Although growing in popularity at the time, single motherhood had yet to become in vogue, so Marlene started shopping for a new husband right away. In 1972, she found a willing applicant named Mike Warren. He wasn't just a stepdad, he was a dad who stepped up. And that's Mike right there.
Oh,
Mike. He looks like every member of my dad's side of the family, plus a couple guys I used to smoke weed with in high school.
Look at the Bud Light button up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Look at the Bud Light face.
Party, dude.
I want shirt.
Blue eyeshadow on her. We've got a Budweiser.
They're a couple of babes.
In the woods.
You can tell by that face that he's having a blast. He's got a slightly older woman. She's already got some more experience, already got a couple of kids, but I bet she knows what she's doing.
Knows what she's doing. He's got the beard just on the bottom part of the chin.
Oh, and it's nice and scruffy.
Yeah.
You know he knows where to get the good
weed. They're really doing it. Stevie Ray Vaughan, right?
Yeah.
I bet they love Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, there's another sex symbol right there. God, my dad was a huge Stevie Ray Vaughan fan, and
Everybody's dad was.
Did he
cry when he died? When I tell you, I distinctly remember my dad, my uncle, aunt. They were like, they looked like that, smoked weed, you know, lived in.
I don't know.
Posters up everywhere, tapestries for curtains, that kind of thing.
So
cool.
Awesome.
Like, I loved him so much. seriously, it was like one of our family members died when Stevie Ray went down.
I don't remember my dad's reaction when Stevie Ray died. I kind of doubt that he cried because he wasn't a huge pussy, but
sure. Did he die first? Maybe,
possibly.
Mm.
Maybe they died together.
Same helicopter. That would be the way I'd want to go.
Yeah.
Marlene and Mike's marriage was exactly what every little girl dreams of. Their relationship started off with fiery passion and excitement, then the flame so slowly faded till they settled into a routine of tolerating one another just enough to keep the family together. From there, they both committed to putting in exactly the amount of effort it took to avoid a divorce, just like in a Disney movie.
Aww, sweet.
That's what I hope to have when I grow up.
Tale as old as time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Do they divorce?
No, they just kind of...
Somebody beat them to it.
You know, they just kind of don't really... They're not divorced, they're not together, they're not separated. What you know what
the
I mean?
Good old days.
Just existing.
Meh. Marlene and Mike, not too long into their marriage, Marlene and Mike started a rental car business called Bargain Motors. Here we fucking go, dude. In Florida? Yes. Their new
fuck all that partying on South Beach. I want to go to Wellington, Florida.
Fucking
and
Stevie
rent cars.
Ray, Bargain Motors, Budweiser, button up. Let's fucking go. We're really doing it, baby.
The rental cars come with a six pack.
Oh yes.
In the center console.
Dude, Bargain Motors,
they all,
fucking rule,
they all
dude.
Automatically, like, they just come pre-installed with the breath lock devices.
Yeah. Their new venture earned them a healthy income that they reinvested into rental properties, which in turn gave them enough money for a collection of toys that included a thoroughbred racehorse and an airplane. Those two fucking a-ding-a-ling-ding-a-ling partiers are now kind of rich,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like of those two things, between the airplane and the thoroughbred racehorse, the racehorse was probably more expensive than the plane. It's ridiculous how expensive those things can be.
Exactly.
Can you rent them? Are they
thoroughbred
the
horses?
Horse or the plane too from their company?
I don't know. I'm sure they had some sort of side hustle going on. Because I mean, that you're just leaving money laying on the table at that point.
To top it all off, the Warrens purchased themselves a nice home in an exclusive community called Takeoff Place. The neighborhood came complete with a private airport that was accessible only to the residents. I mean, they did not fit in. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, they
stuck out like a sore thumb.
I mean, Mike was probably still wearing his fucking Budweiser bottle the entire time.
Oh, dude.
So they came up. How'd they come up? Because of their business?
Yeah, hey, well...
Hey. Okay. If you have a rent... So they started with a company... Bargain Motors. Was it on the up and up? We don't know. But then they get rental properties, buy property in Florida, up and coming Florida. Now they're just getting money sent to their mailbox. You know what I mean?
They did it right.
It's
the American dream.
It's the American dream. Everything for the Warrens was peacefully mediocre up until tragedy struck in 1988. Her 22-year-old son, Marlene's 22-year-old son, John, was driving through West Palm Beach, Florida, when he failed to stop at an intersection and struck another car. The driver of the other car survived with minor injuries, but John was pronounced dead at the scene. I know!
Two deaths in this
one. And by the way, this is a car-heavy episode as well.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Cars are going to play a big part.
I know that
cars and clowns.
John was driving a 1986 Datsun at the time, so a fairly new car. I can't remember off the top of my head what the other car was, but apparently it was better built than a Datsun.
Not hard to do. The loss of her son turned Marlene's world upside down, which was seemingly a problem Michael wanted no part of.
So this
he was
is,
like, God, get over it.
So, oh my God, come on. He was 22 years old. It's not like you lost a child.
Right.
He was a full-grown man.
Right.
He was 22?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
in my mind, it was like a kid.
No, he was driving a car at the time when he crashed.
Oh, it's his own fault then. Fuck him.
All right, Mike.
Well, there's nothing sad about that.
All right, Mike.
That's pretty much how Mike reacted.
Yeah, you can pretty much tell the mood that Joel is in is going to determine whose side he is on in whatever
Mike, 100%.
Episode. If he's like feeling
Team
a little,
Mike all day.
Yeah, if he's feeling a little spicy, he's like always on the fucked up dude's side. I don't know, fucker. Who's she talking to? Somebody else, killer.
Well, you got to let her mourn for like a couple weeks, but come on.
Weeks. They're running businesses. He doesn't have time for that kind of shit.
See what I mean?
Do you see what I mean? Do you see what we all mean?
My mouth on a razor.
Oh my God, bro, you're gonna bleeding. All right,
Joel's gonna.
It was on camera too.
Joel's gonna look like a teenage emo girl by the end of the episode. Just cuts all up and down his arms. So Marlene was busy whining about the loss of her son. Mike was hard at work ignoring his wife and stepson, which is a stepdad's duty.
Yeah.
The good ones, at least.
Doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Giving them their space.
Joseph would later say that after John's death, Michael pulled away from the family and focused solely on running his businesses. Despite his wife struggling with losing a child and his stepson mourning the loss of a brother, Michael made no attempts to support either one of them in any way other than financially.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get tender bone-in pork back ribs for $3.49 a pound with your card. Then get 16-ounce packages of juicy strawberries for $1.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well,
and I mean, in the situation,
only in the best way.
It's well.
if I was going to choose, which way you would support me?
Yeah, which one? Would
I'd choose money.
The one,
I'd choose
money. The one that matters.
Yeah.
Of course,
the one that's going to move the needle. I'll keep going up.
Look,
in that
sweetie,
plane,
I love the support, but not a big fan of the paychecks you're bringing in. So how about little less emotional support, more financial support?
Bye bye.
Less than 2 years after John's death, Marlene was sent to join her son in the afterlife at the hands of an unidentified clown, which is bad way to go. I mean, that's especially, I was thinking about it when I was working on the episode. Life sucks for Joseph.
He's got
a shitty stepdad. His brother suddenly dies in a car accident. And 2 years later, he's in the house when his mom gets shot in the face.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. It's bad luck for that guy.
I feel bad for him. Unless it's him that did it.
Well, we're about to find out.
There's always a twist with these.
Yeah, right? Like, he's his double. Yeah. He hired someone to act like her son and be on the couch, and he was actually the one in the clown suit. I like where you're going, Joel. I mean,
it's a good story.
You missed a calling, friend.
Now it was up to the Wellington, Florida Police Department to figure out who this anonymous killer really was and why they wanted Marlene dead. Alumni of Crime Corner University already know who investigators suspected was behind the murder.
You
got
to.
Who do you think their first pick was?
You got to, though, right? It only took a little digging for the police to figure out that Marlene and Mike were having marital issues, which we don't like when a wife dies. As such, it wasn't a stretch for them to believe he wanted his wife dead. Their initial questioning quickly exonerated him, though, as he was on his way to the racetrack. This guy rules. As he was on his way to the racetrack with some friends at the time of the murder, he wasn't a murderer. He was just a run-of-the-mill deadbeat dad. I was playing the ponies. Okay. You're exonerated, I guess.
The horse races? He was going to the horse races?
Yeah.
Yep.
He was going to bet on the horses.
Hey, man, I've got multiple businesses. I got horses to bet on. Do you think I got time to kill my wife?
Excuse me. I don't even have time for this questioning.
I don't even have time to mourn my wife's kid.
Yeah. She did, though.
Ugh. Oh, God. Never shut up about it.
You know how women are.
Yap.
Jeez.
Is there anything more fun, though, honestly, than playing the ponies?
Have
you not?
I've never bet on a horse race.
Have
before.
You not?
That's
in person?
Means? I thought it was a sex thing. But no, I've never done horse races.
I've tried pony play. I've never played the ponies.
You'd fucking rule as a pony, right? Of a fucking...
He puts the ponytail in his butthole.
No, whatever the
horse.
Pony play is, where you're like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's the butt plug.
Running around with your hooves
it's
up.
It's a tail, Joel.
Yeah, the tail is
it's
in
the
there.
Only place mm-hmm. to connect a tail when you're naked.
Mm-hmm. Be-doo. Be-doo. With Michael ruled out as a...
was that the sound effect of...
I don't know.
Butt plug falling out over and over because he's loose. That's too much.
Maybe that's the alarm Be-doo. When I'm backing up.
Again, Joel hasn't been sleeping much. They keep him
good sleep
on...
This time.
Did you?
Yeah.
I would not admit it.
It's been an easier week this week.
This is just pure
really?
Joel right here.
That's
unfiltered
pure
Joel that we're getting.
Unadulterated Joel.
There's a bat flying through the...
I think it's a moth, it's but just, sure.
It's a moth dressed up as a bat for Halloween.
What? Oh, okay. With Michael ruled out as a suspect, all the police had to go on was the eyewitness accounts of Joseph and his friends. With the, which was little help because they were on the couch and didn't really see anything. Mm-hmm. When questioned, all four men had the same story. A white LeBaron parked in the driveway. A clown stepped out carrying flowers and balloons. And when the clown shot Marlene in the face, Joseph and his friends all agreed that the killer was likely a man due to their height.
They also said that they had big hands. Masculine gait.
And the masculine gait walking back casually, by the way. Like, just didn't run back.
With a look back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't run to the car, just kind of casually walked, got in, drove away.
That's creepy as fuck.
Oh, yeah, yeah, dude.
That's by far the creepiest thing about the whole case. Just so, like, uncaring, just saunters away.
Yeah, like a shot and then just a slow walk to your LeBaron. Fucking A, dude.
With a look back, I mean, that's practically like a hero shot from an 80s movie right there.
Right? With that porcelain weird clown mask?
Yeah.
With nothing else to work with, the police began searching for the murderer's vehicle and any stores in the area that sold clown masks and balloons.
Yeah, do we have a picture of the clown mask?
We do not, because not even the murder weapon was ever found.
Oh, fuck.
Do we have any pictures of anything right now that we should show? No?
We don't. We've got something that's going to be coming up here in just
okay.
a minute.
Okay.
The flowers and balloons left by the killer were an easy lead to follow. Police quickly traced them to a local Publix store. Employees at the store were able to give police a description of the person who purchased the items, who they described as a tall, butch woman with long brown hair. Investigators now knew the killer must either be female or they had a female accomplice. After finding the location where the killer purchased the flowers and balloons, investigators turned their attention on the clown costume itself. This search also ended up being surprisingly short, leading them to a store called Spotlight Costume Shop. Once again, employees informed the police that it had been a tall, manly woman with long brown hair that had purchased the costume and wig. Although they now had a definitive description of the killer, they were still no closer to capturing them. I'd be really curious to see what these mannerisms were that they were, like, the witnesses were describing, because everybody was saying, like, oh, yeah, it was, like, a dude, or it was a manly woman.
Yeah.
Is that moth bothering you, Jesse?
No, this is, like, a...
Is what? It? Where is it? Is it on? Is it?
No, it's like it's a cricket or something. But it's like,
yeah, there's crickets right here. In here.
Oh, never mind. It's good. Thank you.
Did he get it?
Okay.
Is he grabbing it?
Such a loser. Oh,
you're
trying to save it. You don't want to kill it? Well, then get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you picked the wrong guy to come.
I picked the wrong guy to come kill a cricket, right?
He's what's it called? A pacifist?
You smell good, though.
Well, I smell bad, but I'll kill the fucker. So who do you want?
There we go. Come on. Got him? Okay.
Dropped it on her.
Where is it?
Run!
No! Spooktacular!
This is why you just kill it.
Just kill it, dude.
It's over there. It's not going to bother anybody.
She, like, jumps into my fucking wig. Oh, God. Okay. Thanks, Coop, I guess. Jesus. All right. What?
I'm sorry that I'm trying to be a reformed serial killer, okay?
Coop,
he only kills humans.
Coop! You don't kill the cricket?
If I don't need to, no.
So I looked up just clown porcelain masks. That are vintage.
Oh, this is gonna
be. You
want to
see what they look like? Uh-huh. This makes it so much creepier. Look at this stuff.
Yeah, don't know if it was that, but something like that.
Look at
right?
this one.
Oh my god!
That's kind of what I was picturing. I was picturing pretty much like the clown from Slipknot.
Yeah, look at that. That's not funny at all.
Oh god. Okay.
Was there actually a point in history where clowns were considered, like, funny and entertaining and enjoyable?
Yes, there had to be. There had to be some reason why we deal with them still.
Yeah, when did it turn evil? It was before I was born.
It had to be it was, right? The movie.
It or...
Oh, it could be.
Or was it Gene? Or was that Gene or Gacy?
It might have been
the clown.
Gacy was
Gacy.
Probably
so John Wayne Gacy.
Probably the impetus, and then it really got cemented when it came
when
out.
When it came out, yeah.
This happened only 4 years after it came out, because I think
maybe
it was released in '86.
Like just like the touring circus in general, because they got like shitty overtime, and then it's all like murderers and you know convicts that work at the circus that's touring.
And it's also the idea that like people hire these clowns for little kids' birthday parties, which means, you know, kids are could be scared of Mickey Mouse, you know. So yeah. Then a clown comes in and they're just like, oh, and it's traumatic, right? Imprints on them,
yeah,
and then they're
be.
Like never,
never
safe.
Gonna like a clown again. Yeah,
yeah.
It's scary.
No Disney movies with clowns, so you don't like them later.
Mm-hmm.
No, Bozo the Clown was pretty popular, but I'm pretty sure that
he was awesome.
He
had to have been a pedophile, though.
Yeah, we've never like revamped the clown brand. All we've done is drive it further and further into people's fear and psyche, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no movie that's like redeems a clown.
Ronald McDonald? He was the last good clown,
pedophile,
right?
Yep.
Yeah, pedophile.
He's a pedophile?
Yeah.
Oh,
full blown. Had to have been.
Had to have been.
Anybody who wears a disguise and works exclusively with children, yeah, it's
yeah.
got to be a pedophile.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Okay.
I love McDonald's. It's my favorite fast food.
Yeah, I mean, it's they don't put pedophile in the food.
Okay, good.
Where are we, Coop?
So, a couple weeks after Marlene's murder, police thought they had gotten a major break when they tracked down the white LeBaron that had coincidentally been parked near one of Michael's rental businesses. It was in an adjacent parking lot.
Interesting.
That seems
a little suspicious, but I mean,
hey.
with the amount of businesses this guy owns, he's got parking lots all over the place.
100%.
The vehicle had been abandoned in a Winn-Dixie parking lot in West Palm Beach, roughly 8 miles from the scene of the murder. A search of the car uncovered orange fibers similar to those used to make clown wigs. Along with the fibers, police collected several strands of long brown hair from the floorboards. So they're definitely looking for somebody with long brown hair.
Okay.
With very little hard evidence to work with, the investigation was at risk of grinding to a halt. Then, out of the blue, the police received an anonymous phone call from someone claiming to have
Is it back?
I don't know. It's not dead, so it could be back.
If it comes back, I'll kill it.
Oh, don't worry. If it comes back, I'll fucking kill it. I don't want
that.
Well,
you should have done that in the first place.
Well, it
now,
was,
see, this
I
is
just
the,
wanted
this is
it.
The problem with women.
It's so true. Honestly, it's so true. That was the most, like, woman shit I've
Get
ever
Get rid of this cricket.
Done.
No, not like that.
Yeah. Not how you want to. How I want you to. And never mind, I'll do it myself. Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty woman shit. Out of the blue, the police received an anonymous phone call from someone claiming to have information on the murder. The unidentified female told officers to investigate a woman named Sheila Keene.
So we've got a picture of
a woman.
Sheila Keene, a woman.
Okay, let's check her out.
Let's see what she looks like.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
She's a gal with clown makeup on, looking like she's I don't know where she's going. Regular hair. Regular nerd glasses.
In a fast food joint of some sort. She's
yeah,
got those
oh, okay,
back
that was her costume, maybe. Okay. That's Sheila Keene. I mean,
okay.
We can't go after everyone that just dresses up as a clown, though, right?
No,
there's got to
no.
be more.
Because everybody does that.
Connection.
At one time or another.
Yeah, but you just can't arrest, hey, she dresses a clown one time. You know what I mean?
True.
We all go through that phase.
Sheila worked as a repossession agent at Bargain Motors, along with her husband, the amazingly named Spud Keene.
I fucking love that name so much. It's so, like,
hey, Spud?
Just
yeah.
imagine the type of guy
Spud
that Keen. That's got to be.
Spud Keene.
Good old Spud Keene. Drinks Bush beer.
Oh,
probably
Spud.
Drives a Trans Am or something like that. Huge fan of Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
If you could actually find a picture of him, I'd be amazed.
Oh, my God, Spud.
I would love to see
y'all going to Spuds tonight.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I'm going to Spuds.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to sit by the fire. I'm going to sit by the fire at Spuds. So fun over there, right? He's going to do a spread. He does a nice spread.
Oh, yeah. He cooks the best gator you ever had.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So good. According to the anonymous tipster, while Joel is finding Spud, according to the anonymous tipster, Sheila and Mike had been having a not-so-secret affair. The extramarital activities were so poorly hidden that nearly all of the employees knew about it. This ultimately led to Sheila divorcing Spud. How could you?
Oh, why would you leave a guy like Spud?
Oh, my God. Such a great guy.
Great guy.
Such a great guy.
Love him to death. He gave my son a can of dip for his birthday.
Bless.
I can't believe it.
Bless him.
I didn't even buy my son any gifts.
Oh, God. Great guy. Great guy. Friend to everyone. You know what I mean? Never met a stranger.
Never met a stranger.
You know what
in
I mean? Never
life.
Met a stranger. Spud.
I can't find him.
Sorry about you and Sheila, Spud. There's more fish in the sea, though, Spud. You're a great guy.
There's a lot more gators in the bayou, I'll tell you that much.
Spud, you're great. Get back out there.
Get back out there and gig you some more frogs. Gosh. You're too much of a catch to let go, Spud.
Oh, just water off a duck's back, Spud. Go. Just get back out there. Divorcing Spud so she could spend more time pursuing her passion for being a home wrecker. Love to hear it. Love to see it. For the owner, though, do you know what I mean? Like, so she started working there, and like, you know, Mike's the owner.
Oh,
Mike's the big dog.
He's a
catch
too.
If you're gonna go after anyone, if you're gonna leave Spud, great guy. If you're gonna leave Spud for someone, it better be
a
the
Mike.
The owner.
Yeah, it's got to be a Mike. If you
better have an airplane.
Oh, yeah. Better have a thoroughbred, too.
Mm-hmm.
While the forensic examination was being carried out on the LeBaron, police brought Sheila in for questioning and obtained a search warrant for her apartment. The investigators' suspicion that she was involved grew even stronger when she came in to give a statement. Sheila Keen just happened to be a tall tomboy with long brown hair, just like the woman that purchased the clown costume, flowers, and balloons. Interesting. Sheila's interrogation was inconclusive, but they were able to recover some interesting evidence from her apartment. Although she adamantly denied owning a clown costume, investigators were able to recover orange fibers from the floor in her apartment that seemed to match the fibers from the LeBaron. Despite these possible connections, the police had insufficient evidence to make an arrest, and Sheila Keen was released.
Yeah, because unfortunately the fibers are like wig, they're synthetic pieces.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not matching DNA. It's enough
to be considered like maybe circumstantial evidence, but it's not.
You have other stuff, right? You can add it to the pile, but that can't be your only.
Yeah, and they were able to recover the brown hairs from the car, and they actually got Sheila to agree to let them take samples of her hair. But back in those days, DNA could only be, like we've talked about it on the show before, they could tell if it was close, but they this is after they finally realized that they could get DNA from more places than just a diaper.
Right.
That was surprisingly recent.
Right.
Poop and cum.
Joel still doesn't believe it, but yeah.
And blood in there also.
Oh.
But with the DNA testing that they did at the time, they were able to tell if two types of DNA were similar, but they couldn't conclusively say that they were exactly the same type.
Right.
Until later on when they got better technology.
Diapers. So
what's Spud short for? What do you think his real name is?
Spudrick.
Right?
What?
Yeah, like,
I mean, it's no dumber than any other answer I could give.
Yeah, did we not get a real name on him? Or
Robert Keen. He looks like this. Robert Earl Keen. But I don't think that's him.
No, that looks like some kind of current.
Yeah, it's from 2018. Dude.
Yeah, no.
I picture a Spud as being a little lankier.
Yeah, I
thought you
do? I pictured somebody wirier, a little more wiry.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Just considering the age. He would grow up into somebody like that, but considering the time, I would think he'd be a little, like, just coming out of his meth phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was released because they didn't have real hard evidence, and as we know, even if someone seems like they're definitely the person, in order to get a judge to grant you, you know, charges, you're gonna have to show something.
Yeah, and another thing
about
that,
you can win, basically.
Yeah, another thing about that that initially confused me until I read more about it is, even if they have evidence like that, which most people would look at and say like, oh yeah, obviously it was Sheila that did it, if they don't have enough to like conclusively mm-hmm. say this is who it was that did it, and they do take it to trial, if they get exonerated in that trial, they can't try him again for it.
Yeah.
So they need to make sure that if they're going to charge somebody with the crime, they've got enough evidence to ideally put him behind bars. Otherwise, they don't get another shot at it.
Right. So that's when people are like, it's taking so long. What's taking so long? We know who it is, kind of thing, is because they have to think of both sides as well. So when the judge is, you know, granting them, you know, subpoenas, whatever, affidavits, mm-hmm. then they need to be like, well, but if it's not actual DNA, the defense is going to be like, that's a piece of clown hair.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? All you have is a piece of clown hair. That's not even hair, right?
It's Florida. Everybody has clown
hair. Everyone
has
clown hair all over the place. With no further leads to follow, the case went cold and everyone attempted to move on with their lives except Marlene Warren, who was still dead. Okay. So along with running his original rental car business, Michael branched out into other markets, including opening a restaurant called the Purple Cow. Okay.
Ooh.
Thankfully, he didn't have to tackle his new business venture alone. He had the help of his new live-in girlfriend, Sheila Keen.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're free to frolic now. I mean, because some clown killed his wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's tragic. We're sad, but we've got to move on with our lives.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like Mike, I mean, he can't go the rest of his life without taking on another mate. We need that DNA in the gene pool.
And as we know, he doesn't like to dwell on death.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He likes to just keep it moving.
That's how he made all his money, just fucking charging forward.
Keep it moving. It wouldn't be long before the long arm of the law came knocking on Michael Warren's door again, but not for murder. In the years following Marlene's death, Michael got into some hot water with the authorities over how he ran his business. Who knew? Michael thought it was okay to roll back the odometers on his used cars to sell them for a higher price. But
my
the
man.
Right? The law disagreed. Yep. Joel's feeling spicy. He loves Mike. Mike is his boy. He sees nothing wrong.
Team Spud all day.
Yep.
Yeah, I see the American dream and a hardworking man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure, you fib. Maybe fib every once in a while.
Yeah. You got to lie to get to the top.
You know, you ain't hurting anybody except the government.
That's
right. Just a little white lie.
Right. Along with tampering with the mileage, Michael was also running a scheme where he would repossess cars from his customers, then report the cars as stolen so he could collect the insurance money. Cool. Super cool.
Super, super cool.
And smart,
super
actually.
Duper. That's good. Okay, honestly, like a good fraud scheme if he didn't get caught for it. But I think we just found out how he ended up making so much money off of his business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you go like, dang, it was just a rental car business, and now he's got an airplane and a thoroughbred? American dream.
Yeah, if you're willing to just fib a little bit.
Yeah. Michael was charged with racketeering and fraud, for which he received a 3-year prison sentence. After being released,
not as much as he should have got,
Michael was welcomed home once again by Sheila. Ride or die.
She was there for him through the death of his wife.
She's down to clown.
Might possibly have been there somewhat for the death of his stepson before that. She was there for him through all 3 years of prison. She was a good woman.
Yeah.
You think they were banging while he was still married?
Oh, what? Yeah, they definitely were.
Yeah, it was a full-on affair.
Yeah.
Full-on affair to the point where they, like we said, not hiding it. Everyone at work knew. It was probably super annoying.
Oh, yeah.
Man, fuck this guy, dude.
Yeah, right. You love him. You love him.
I like cheaters very much. Dude,
a guy like Mike paired up with like a butch woman like Sheila, oh, they would be a fucking insufferable couple.
Dude, they would be so obnoxious to be around.
Can you imagine? I bet Sheila is one of those chicks that just like punches you in the arm constantly.
Yeah.
Right. For shits and giggles.
Yeah.
Or face.
Yeah. I was thinking face.
We know what direction the domestic violence went in that relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
As the new millennium came and went, everything seemed to be going really well for Michael and Sheila. They were in love, their businesses were successful, and nobody had accused them of murder in over 10 years. Good on them for it.
Living the dream, and that's...
Living the Florida dream.
That's love, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, look. It's one of those things, it's like when people cheat, and then they stay together, like, forever, have a whole family. You're like, all right, maybe you were meant to be together.
And also going through a murder investigation together and through Michael's prison sentence. I mean, shit, they got...
Probably spiced things up a lot.
They got something going for them that a lot of couples don't have.
Exactly.
They were so happy that they decided it was finally time to tie the knot. So in 2002, after dating for over a decade, Michael finally popped the question.
Oh,
and
sweet.
I really do picture that as Sheila just being like, we're getting married.
It's so, fucking time.
Yes, ma'am. More than 10 years would pass before the skeletons in Michael and Sheila's closet started coming back to haunt them. In 2013, new DNA technology had given police another opportunity at tracking down Marlene's killer. With their new tools in hand, investigators began quietly pursuing the murder case once again.
Bum, bum, bum.
As a part of the new investigation, detectives went over the witness statements and testimony they had initially gathered, and it was then that they noticed a small detail they had initially overlooked in a statement from an employee of Bargain Motors. It turned out to be just the break they needed.
During the initial round of questioning, police had gotten a statement from an employee named Claude Poitier?
Poitras?
Poitras?
Poitras? Well, it's Florida, so it's probably like Poitras or something.
Yeah, but
like
the fucking swamp, right?
Yeah.
So it's very...
Oh, old Claude Poitras? Yeah.
Poitras? Yeah. He had told investigators about an incident that happened a little over a month before Marlene's murder. A vacationing couple called Bargain Motors, mistaking it for a Payless car rentals. They informed the employees that they needed to return their rental car, a white Chrysler LeBaron.
Ooh.
Mike had been the one to answer the call and apparently saw an opportunity to commit some grand theft auto. He pretended to be an employee of Payless Car Rentals and told the couple to leave the car in a nearby parking lot so he could send an employee to pick it up. Mike then had Claude drive Sheila and him to pick up the car. He then watched as Mike and Sheila drove away in the white LeBaron. Police now had a solid connection between their suspects and the murder vehicle. Is it solid?
It's
Torsan.
Closer. Again. I mean, Sheila did deny ever being in a Chrysler LeBaron before.
Okay, hearsay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
New tests were done on the hair and fibers recovered during the initial investigation. The fibers recovered from Sheila's apartment were found to be an exact match to the ones found in the LeBaron, proving that whoever had worn the clown costume had been in Sheila's apartment.
How can you do an exact match of synthetic fibers?
I'm not a scientist, so I'm not really sure, but I'm assuming it's close enough and similar
to... Sounds like bullshit to me.
Yeah, sounds like...
I mean, it's all hocus
pocus
like as far as I'm concerned.
Sounds like junk science to me, but anyway...
But it might be something along the lines of how they test bullets to see if it came from the same gun. Because when they're making the fibers, there's going to be, I'm assuming, certain like extrusion marks on or something like that on it. Or they can say at the very least it might have came from the same factory. Mm-hmm. I think that's the closest that they could really get it. Not whether or not it's from the same wig, but same manufacturer at least.
Okay.
Sure.
Fine.
Whatever, dude.
I'm a jury. I don't buy it. But anyway.
The second round of tests on the hair found on the floorboards of the LeBaron finally proved to be the smoking gun the police were looking for. The DNA was an exact match for Sheila Keene Warren. And yes, she hyphenated her last name, so we know who really wore the pants in the relationship.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or is it... It drives me crazy when people hyphenate their last names for some reason.
It's fucking stupid.
I think so, too.
I don't know what that means. Like keep both your names?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you make it like one name.
You're talking to the wrong guy. I've got like three last names.
Yeah, but it,
but you don't put them all one after
like
the other.
You and your wife in between. Change your last names to both of your last names.
Oh.
Like it'd be
shit,
odd,
so she'd
whatever.
Have like five last names at that point if she took all yours.
Yeah.
With her newfound evidence in hand, police finally set out to make an arrest. On September 26, 2017, nearly 20 years after Marlene Warren's murder, Sheila was arrested in a parking lot roughly 1 mile from her new home in Virginia.
Oh, shit.
Her and Michael moved to Virginia.
Hmm. Do we have any pictures of her, like, at that time?
We could pull up. There's a video from inside the police car that we could pull up, like, at the time of her arrest while she's sitting
Isn't
the
there
car.
One of her, like, smiling member? Like, older?
The
So do Sheila Keen... mugshot. Sheila Keen mugshot, because you're just like, oh man, that lady was living the dream in Virginia, looking out on the water, right? Getting away with murder.
Oh.
With the guy. Yeah, that one.
Which one?
Yeah. With the guy that she wanted all along. All she had to do was dress up as a clown and pop his fucking wife. Look at her. Happy.
That really is all you have to do to find love, is you need to wear a disguise and murder somebody's spouse.
Yep.
She seems real sweet.
Happy to be there, friend.
She does look like she was probably a lot of fun to hang out with. Just, oh. You know, like, she's one of the guys.
So they proved it? How do they know for sure it was her?
Anyway, Sheila was...
Her hair was in the vehicle.
Yes.
So? It's a rental car.
It wasn't. Oh. Well, I mean, it was a rental car from a different rental company, but... there was too many conflicting parts
of the story. I hear you, though.
But just because she stole the car for
some reason. I hear you, because we have somebody that's saying that they got into this car and drove away, right?
Yeah, it was Claude.
So her hair's going to be in it. Mm. Like, I hear you, but yeah. I think it's enough to tie, especially no other suspects. Anyway.
Yeah, I guess it was enough for that black dude that just got murdered, too. So makes sense.
Hey, sometimes you just got to close a case, man, so you can move on to the next one.
Sometimes, like, the son, Joseph, is like, dude. Even when he was on the couch, too, he was nursing a broken foot, right?
Yeah, broken
from
foot.
From a car accident.
Not the best drivers in that family.
You know what I mean? Like, just the cars in this story will overtake. I mean... The son dying in the car. He's owning the rental. The LeBaron is the
son
thing.
I got an idea. The son didn't like that his dad was cheating on his mom, so he stole some hair from her.
So he killed his mother?
Killed his mom.
You should be a defense attorney. That's exactly how they fucking sound sometimes. Sheila was extradited back to Florida to be judged by a jury of her peers. Her defense team, they were all dressed as clowns. Her defense team was able to stall the trial for a few years, at which time COVID took over for them, postponing the proceedings further. God.
The case went on long enough that COVID
that
interrupted
COVID
the trial
had a hand in
of all
it, right?
fucking things.
God damn. Postponing the proceedings further. It wasn't until 2023 that things finally got moving again. I guess with all of us, huh? With the evidence against her, it was unlikely that she could beat a murder charge. Instead, Sheila's attorneys advised her to take a very lenient plea deal. In return for pleading guilty to second-degree murder, Sheila Keen Warren was sentenced to 12 years in prison.
12 fucking years in prison for...
12.
I mean, that's not a whole lot of time for... So if she was actually the one that committed the crime, mm-hmm. it's first degree murder, because that was all premeditated.
How much more premeditated? Yeah.
And I mean, they got the fucking LeBaron like a month and a half before the actual murder. But I mean, they probably, or she, I don't know if Mike was involved, but she probably chose to use it shortly before the murder. But how is that second degree murder in any situation?
Well,
I think that's why it was a plea deal.
That's the plea, right? Yeah. So you could be like, you can just plead guilty to second degree right now, or you can do a trial for first degree. And by the way, you will be found guilty.
Oh, and in Florida, like, first-degree murder is not treated kindly.
No, not super sweet. As for Mike Warren, he stuck by Sheila's side throughout the entire ordeal. A big change when compared to how he abandoned Marlene after her son died.
Right.
You know, it's like if you love somebody, it's just a little bit different. To this day.
God, that's brutal.
Sorry, Marlene and Joey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, yeah, if he was as into Marlene as he was into Sheila, he would have been there through the
death. When I tell you, when a guy is over a woman, a relationship, do you know what I mean? When he's over it.
It's over.
That's the kind of shit they'll fucking do. It's just like, God, you're still fucking mourning your son. Yeah,
Jesus Christ, it's been what, 3 weeks now? Get right over it.
That's fucked up.
I know. To this day, Mike insists Sheila is innocent and claims it was a disgruntled customer or hired hitman that killed his former wife. Yeah, because she had so many enemies Yeah.
At one point, he was even saying, like, this was when they were doing the initial investigation. He was saying, like, oh, you know, she's done repossessions before, so there's probably a decent amount of people that don't like her, something along those lines, saying, like, oh, yeah, she's got tons of enemies. This is, you know, some middle-aged woman from Wellington, Florida, tons of enemies.
Right? Just making some breakfast for her son and his friends.
No, They did investigate him, but nothing. They couldn't get anything to stick.
Yeah. Mike insists Sheila's innocent and claims it was a disgruntled customer hired hitman that killed his former wife. Mike was never charged in connection with Marlene's death and remains free to this day, which I have feelings about.
Like what?
You're trying to tell me the Sheila, right? You know these motherfuckers fought the good kind of fighting, right? The good kind of fighting. Throwing stuff, yelling, like saying things you can never take back before you have sex, right? You're trying to tell me that not once did they have the, like, either he knew from the beginning or there wasn't a conversation of, I killed your fucking wife.
Yeah,
and this is what you know what I mean?
In nearly, it was like almost 20 years of marriage, or no, it was like, yeah, almost 20 years of marriage by the time she finally got arrested for it.
Right. Trying to tell me, old Sheila, fucking butch ass, you listen to me, motherfucker, Sheila didn't say.
And
I'll tell him you fucking knew, you little bitch.
How did she happen to get a hold of that white LeBaron that they both, like...
Mm-hmm.
Quietly stole together?
Quietly stole it, and then what?
But they do that shit all the time,
nothing,
right?
Did nothing with it until... You know what I mean?
And if Mike finds out that somebody dressed as a clown pulled up in a white LeBaron...
Was driving a white LeBaron.
I wonder if... Did he not know where the white LeBaron was at the time? He'd be like, oh yeah, he got rid of that.
He does have a lot of cars. A lot of cars on the lot.
As far as we know, only one of them was stolen, though. If I stole a car, I'd probably keep track of it.
Right.
At least until I ditched it.
I thought he was doing that shit all the time. I thought he was, like, stealing and saying it was stolen and
repossessing.
Repossessing. But this one was an interesting one where someone called mistakenly and was like, is this Payless? And he's like, it's Payless rental.
Imagine
go ahead and just drop it off. So that would be a crazy incident where you go, I know where the LeBaron is that I stole from Payless, right?
Yeah. True.
So when you hear, let's just say he had no idea, he hears on the news or hears that it was a white LeBaron.
You might want to take a look and where your white LeBaron is.
Mike either knew it was going to be there or decided to just say, I don't know. Maybe somebody rented it and committed this crime, right? But Mike fucking knew.
Yeah, he had to have.
And Sheila knows Mike knew, and Sheila will expose Mike if he doesn't fucking stand by her for By the way, their entire relationship and moved to Virginia. Why? Because that's where she wants to go. And Mike, if you don't do what I fucking want you to do, I'm telling everyone it was you.
That's how she got the ring.
Finally. 100%. Why would he be like, let me lock this weird shit down? Haven't gotten caught.
I like it.
Right?
That's way better than my
still
idea.
Team Mike.
What? You're still into Mike?
No, the only other thing I could think of was that maybe he was drunk when he got the call, so he didn't remember that he stole the car. Because he does
drunk
wear Bud Light shirts and stuff, you know?
It was at work.
But I think what you said is the truth, 100%.
Yeah, she had something on him.
She blackmailed the fuck out of him.
Oh, fuck yeah. And she still is.
And he liked it, though. He kind of liked it.
Why would she? Why would he be standing? Oh, shit. This guy has a plane and a thoroughbred. He's going to fucking stick by Sheila and move to a trailer in Virginia? Come on.
Fuck no.
Fuck no. He's doing it because he's been cucked for the past, what is it now?
Close to 30 years.
30 years.
It was 27 years by the time that she
they've
got
been
sentenced.
On the lam. And you know, I never understand why people don't. They have a bunch of money. They don't have kids. He has stepkids that he doesn't fucking care about,
stepkids
obviously.
Stepkids from two different women, because Sheila had kids,
Sheila
too.
Sheila had kids, too. Why do you not go, like, move to Europe or something? Do you know what I mean? Like, why are you staying in Florida for a very long time and then move to Virginia? It's crazy to me. Is it that that makes you look more guilty? I don't know. But if I committed a crime like that, A, I would never. And there was a chance for me. I'm like, I'm getting away with it. At least 5 years in, I'd be like, let's fucking go. Like,
let's get out of here.
Yeah.
I can't always be looking over my shoulder. I can't always be like fucking freaked out when the cops, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why not? Why not?
Because they're innocent.
Because my boy Mike was railroaded. Yeah.
Mike would never do
Mike
that.
Mike would never. Sheila did it all. He had no idea, and he still doesn't to this day. The other option is that she kept the secret for that long. I don't believe it, Sheila.
No, I don't believe it for a second.
Yeah.
I don't either.
You don't either.
Women can't keep a secret.
And the only other reason that a guy would stay with a woman like that, through thick and thin, prison sentence, possible murder.
What is it, Jesse?
Is if she can, you know, break it off, throw it all around the trailer, and prolapse, right? Because the only reason that you go through all of that when you have an airplane and a thoroughbred is if that's, you know, if she's prolapsing.
It's for, it's right? For that puffy pink wind sock.
You know, because like where else, by the way, very uncommon. So where are you going to find that? Where else are you going to find it?
True.
Prison.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah. Spooktacular.
Kid friendly.
Yep.
Crab juice.
Cheers. Cheers, guys. Happy Halloween.
Cheers. Happy Halloween, everybody.
We'll be right back.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.